Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to talk today about one of the most amazing chapters, one of the most amazing sections of the New Testament, chapter 2 of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. The church this week is looking at this letter, the first reading at Mass each day. Today's reading is from chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Some say this is an early Christian hymn, but what it is, it's really an exaltation of Jesus. It talks about, Paul talks in such a beautiful way about the humility of Christ, the obedience of Jesus, and how he expressed his love for the Father through obedience in such a radical and total way, even to the point of dying on a cross, right, for us in an obedience to the Father. The Father was so pleased that he highly exalted Jesus above all others. So Paul is, again, holding up Jesus as the ultimate model for us, obviously. But what's really interesting is that he's writing in this letter, he's writing it from prison. He's imprisoned. And you can see his mind and heart are so alive to Christ, even in a really difficult circumstance. And he's writing a letter to friends in Philippi who are experiencing some of their own suffering and pressure from the society around them. They've been supporting him in prayer, sent him some financial support, and he's writing a letter to thank them. And so the letter is full of thanksgiving and joy, but also exhortation and challenge. He's challenging the brothers and sisters there in Philippi, even though they're living in difficult circumstances, obviously not as difficult as the one he's in the moment, but he's challenging them to rise to the occasion and to reach out for spiritual maturity, to step into the deep imitation of Christ in their pattern of life. And yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I ended with the last part of chapter 1, but didn't finish the last line, which really applies in some ways to this reading today. Paul said this from verse 29. He says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict which you saw and now hear to be mine." The brothers and sisters in Philippi are suffering, and Paul is saying, this is really God's grace and God's calling on your life. You've been granted this opportunity to participate in the suffering of Jesus. Paul said, just like me, and he's suffering in prison. And what's amazing to see is, just for Paul, it was like, this is the normal Christian life. It's not something that's a great surprise, because why? Because the servant is not greater than the master. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have tribulation. If you're going to be my disciple, guess what? The world's going to hate you at times. Why? Because it hated me first. The more we identify with Christ, the more we engage in his mission, the more we look and live like him, probably in a world that's hostile to God at times, we're going to experience some pushback. We're going to experience, in some parts of the world, the suffering is profound. People are losing their lives. They're being martyred for the sake of the gospel. Beginning of chapter 2, the hymn. Verse 1, it says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Now, Paul just is repeating himself here. Just a few lines earlier, he said the very same thing. In verse 27, he said, "That I may hear that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Again here, he's underlining it, taking it even deeper. Complete my joy. The joy of Paul's life is Christ, and to see the brothers and sisters who have come into Christ, who he's brought to faith, mature in Christ and look like Jesus and live like Jesus and really to become saints. He said, complete my joy by being of the same mind. So how do we express that life of Jesus? We're one mind and one heart, that is, for Christ and for the gospel, having the same love, that we, your heart and mind. What is Paul pointing to here is there's a very deep reality that's happening in the Philippian community and the brothers and sisters there, and the same reality that's meant to happen and is happening in the life of every parish, of every diocese, of every movement in the church. The Holy Spirit is uniting us all around the person of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit who's awakening in us a passion and a love for Christ and a love for the Father. Jesus' love for the Father. And it's the kind of grace that allows us to see together the value of knowing Christ Jesus, of following him and valuing it together in a way that it should be valued, but learning how to put first things first. So we have the same mind that is to please Christ, to obey God. We have the same love to radically love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Being in full accord and of one mind, that is having a harmony and a unity and being together aligned in God's purpose for us. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. So Paul begins to touch on what are the great temptations of living closely together in community as brothers and sisters, whether it's family, whether it's extended family, whether it's the tribe, you know, you're part of. The flesh wants to kick itself up, wants to insist on its own way. He says, so do nothing from selfishness or conceit, to be conceited, me first. I should be considered first because I'm better than other people. All these temptations are present in the human heart. But instead, he said, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. What is humility? Does humility mean, in this case, think of others better than yourself, like somehow think badly of yourself? No, humility is having the capacity to make an accurate assessment of who we are in Christ. I am who I am before God and nothing more and nothing less. Who God sees, that's who I am. And humility is recognizing that everything I have and everything I am has come from God. And it's not thinking less of myself, but it's thinking less about myself. And my main focus is not on my ego, on anxiety and concern for me and all of my needs and fighting to make sure that I'm recognized. He said, but in humility, count others better than yourselves as worthy of love and worthy of service and to seek to raise them up. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's a way of expressing that kind of humility. That's the ground and foundation, in many ways, of love. Exercise. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Think about how often we do that. Kind of often preoccupied with our own interests and securing our own interests and forgetting the needs and interests of others. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. Paul just challenged the brothers and sisters not to be conceited, not to think of themselves as better than everybody else, or to put their own issues, their own priorities, or their own concerns, their own interests before everyone else. He keeps talking about having one mind. And having, in this case, he says, have this mind among yourselves. So he wants us to have one mind that is the mind of Christ. And he said, this is the mind that we should reach for. This is the mind that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. That's what it means to begin to walk in holiness. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. So he's making it clear. It's the mind of Christ that he's exhorting us to lay hold of. Who, though he was in the form of God, that is, Jesus was divine, right? Jesus is divine. Though he was divine, he did not count equality with God, that is, his divinity, as something to be grasped and to hold on to in the midst of the mission and ministry that God gave him, which was to become one of us. He never lost his divinity, but he didn't assert his divinity and demand that everybody recognize his divinity, but he humbled himself. He emptied himself. There's a Greek word here, kenosis, that he emptied himself on insisting that he be recognized as first and insisting that everybody acknowledge his divinity. Or he didn't come thundering forward. I mean, right? Jesus had all power in heaven and earth. He could have pretty much forced everybody to recognize it, but he humbled himself, became one of us. And he took on a particular form That is, he had a particular character and orientation to life, and that was to become a servant. He who is king and lord of all becomes the servant, and he became the servant out of obedience to the Father. And that obedience was motivated. It's concrete expression of love. And we know, talked many times on the program, of how when Jesus talks about love, at the center of it is obedience. Not just an emotion, not just a thought, but a real decision of our mind, heart, will to surrender and to walk in the commands and the plans of God for us. So God called him to serve. Jesus told the apostles that he didn't come to lord it over us, but he was among us as one who serves. He was a model for us. So he washed the feet of the apostles. He did what a servant would do. He became a servant by being, Paul says here, being born in the likeness of men, being born in the likeness of a creature, of the one, each one of us was made by Jesus, for Jesus, through Jesus. Right? All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So the Creator enters his own creation and becomes a servant. In verse 8, Paul says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Here's the key. God, this is really a law of the kingdom of God and the economy. The humble will be exalted, and the exalted will be humbled. The proud will be humbled. They may look like they got it all going in this world. And guess what? Every one of us has a desire to exalt ourselves above others. And so we'll hear throughout the New Testament, through Jesus, through the apostles, really the command to say, humble yourself. Make a decision to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to be a servant and to not count yourself as better than other people, to not be conceited toward other people, but be glad to serve, be glad to wash the feet of the saints, be glad to do whatever's needed to advance the kingdom of God and to bring honor and glory to Christ. And Jesus's humility is expressed in obedience that was so total and so radical, it led to Calvary. It was an obedience that was an expression of love. And on the cross, we see the ultimate expression of God's love for us in Christ. Because the heart of what the Father wanted was for Jesus to communicate to the whole world what it means to be human, what we were made for. And on the cross, Jesus perfectly communicates what a fulfilled human life looks like. A perfect life. Jesus lived a perfect life. And that perfection, the totality of his love, is expressed there on the cross. He emptied himself. He became a slave. He was falsely accused. He was tortured, murdered, killed. And he surrendered his life for you and for me. He became a sacrifice for our sin. His blood was shed out of love so that you could be cleansed and I could be cleansed. And it was all made possible because he humbled himself. Humility is a profound characteristic of Christian love and the Christian way of life. This is the one mind that St. Paul is saying, let's lay hold of it. Let's live it together. Let's exalt it. Let's really honor humility and being a servant among us so we can all imitate Christ in love. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.